This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In 2018, China's national salt policy came into effect, which banned 24 types of solid waste imports into the country. So this included plastic waste, which then caused a global disruption of the market for recyclable material. It also led to the redirection of plastic waste to Southeast Asia. And from January to July of 2018, Malaysia became the world's top destination for plastic waste exports. And this led to a sharp rise in illegal recycling facilities and illegal dump sites, causing land, water and air pollution. So the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, or the C4 Centre, kicked off research on this issue and recently launched their findings in a report titled Malaysia is Not a Garbage Dump, Citizens Against Corruption, Complacency, Crime and Climate Crisis. And I'm going to discuss this more with Wong Pui Yee, who is a researcher with the C4 Centre and author of the report that I just mentioned, and Heng Kia Chun, who is a campaigner with Greenpeace Malaysia. Welcome both of you. How are you today?
Yeah, good.
Thanks, Julia. We are good. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Thank you. So we've got very robust reports that we need to go through. So, but before we get into that, you know, I briefly mentioned China's national salt policy earlier, right? And the subsequent repercussions from it. But maybe you can help elaborate more on that policy for us, and also how plastic waste from industrialized countries, you know, started to engulf Southeast Asian communities.
Okay, first of all, we have to go back to the in 2018. So in 2018, China started to regulate the imported plastic waste from many countries, especially the developed country. When China imposed the import ban, Southeast Asia country, especially Malaysia, became the first destinations to import all this plastic waste. I mean, plastic waste supposed to be shifted into this country for recycling. But at the same time, we also found that there are lots of contaminated plastic waste that couldn't be recycled or not being recycled properly. That is why we started our investigations in 2018 to highlight that this global broken system. And in 2020, we also published another report called Recycling Myth 2.0 to highlight the toxic after effect of the plastic waste in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can share, you know, some of the findings from those reports, you know, I mean, that led to a lot of public awareness as well. You know, it got people understanding and thinking about, you know, what was actually happening.
Oh, yeah. And then in 2018, we met with a few local committees, especially in Jenjarum, Klang and Sungai Petani Kedah. We found that a lot of the plastic waste from many developed countries, I mean, they were just, they are not, some of the plastic waste are not being recycled properly. They were just dumped in the landfill or abandoned building or even the palm oil plantations area. So this is a problem that we have found. And after that, we collect all the evidences to highlight these problems. And then in 2020, we collect the sampling and then to highlight the toxic after effect of these problems. Mm. So, for example, we also found some unregulated and now abandoned dump site at Siri Chiding in Selangor and have been filled and covered with shredded plastic as a layer of topsoil. And then this top layer of topsoil is contaminated with concentrations of heavy metals, including cadmium and lead relatively to back. Environmental labs. And the second one, investigations as a dump site at Pau Indah Klang, where the waste was burned, shows enough post-burn residue that were found to contain several contaminants. Some in that are likely more mobile compared with the source plastic, with additional chemical of compound generated during or as a result of the combustion process. So this is a significant contaminations with hazardous chemical, including heavy metal, at the presence of brominated flame retardants found at the sites where plastic waste was burned.
Mm-hmm. And this, of course, you know, can directly impact the communities living around there, isn't it?
Yes, correct. So overall, the finding of these investigations have revealed that shredded plastic disposed at several dump sites in Malaysia contain a range of metals and organic chemicals likely been contaminating the surrounding environments during their storage or processing activity. So the result of the chemical analysis have been published in a technical report an analysis done by Greenpeace at the Greenpeace Research Laboratory, University of Exeter, UK. So for more detail, you can go to Greenpeace Malaysia website.
Okay. All right. And Pui, you also, I mean, you're part of C4, you know, the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. And you guys also, you know, came up with a special report, which I mentioned earlier, Malaysia is Not a Garbage Dump, Citizens Against Corruption, Complacency, Crime and the Climate Crisis. What was the overall aim of, you know, conducting this study? And you were, of course, the author of this report.
Yes, so we are clearly not an environmental group. So one might wonder, why are we looking into this plastic waste issue? We started because we found out about the issue through resident activist, Dr. Theo from Sungai Petani. And he was sharing about all the illegal factories that came up around his home. Mm. And we just wondered, how was this allowed to happen? How did the plastic waste container loads, they come in tons. One ton is 1,000 kg. How can they pass through our enforcement agencies, and how can these facilities, physical facilities, get set up so easily? So I was kind of commissioned to do a little bit of research. And to add on a little bit to things sharing just now, aside from the Greenpeace report, there are also many, many other reports about this whole plastic waste crisis that emerged after China's ban, including one, another Greenpeace report on the Philippines, focusing on how there's illegal trade and misdeclaration of plastic and how entering illegally, and also an Interpol report on how criminal syndicates are running the international trade plastic waste networks. And that's how smuggling happens from Western countries, from Europe, all the way to Malaysia. Yeah. So we decided to look at this from a governance point of view, because if there's no proper governance, no proper oversight, the impact, we might... So Malaysia is a hub for illicit financial flows, but we can't see the impact on us.
Yeah.
Those people are slushing millions and billions around. We can't see the impact on us, but something as tangible as this waste, it directly affects the people in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So we thought it was something important to write and to speak about.
Yep, definitely. Before we get to the key findings, Pui, I understand mm-hmm. that you conducted about, was it 40 interviews for this report? I mean, you know, were people very forthcoming with information? Was it a very difficult task, you know, to get the you know, the findings that you were looking for?
Okay, so it depends what I'm looking for. So we began this research to see if there was corruption happening. And when you ask the people, you have all sorts of stories about corruption at every level of the government, across government agencies, but you have no proof. And then when you ask the officials, you have them saying that, I'm clean, if you have any proof, you can sue me in court. Another one who said that, oh, didn't you see right in front at the counter, you have a policy, no gift policy. So, we are very careful about this, blah, blah, blah. So when you speak to different people, you get different answers, and you just have to try to read between the lines. But in terms of official data, so I tried to get data on the number of plastic waste, number of containers coming in and things like that. It took a while, but in the end, the Department of Environment was very helpful with their data. But naturally, it took a long while and follow-up questions. It's also a little bit difficult. But in the end, they came through, so I was quite happy with that. Speaking to the state governments, in overall, the local state expos were also pretty helpful. What I was very disappointed in was the fact that none of the local governments wanted to speak to me. Mm-hmm. Talking about both local councillors as well as the heads of the departments or even the YDP, the president of the council. So the local council plays a very important role in taking care of the welfare of the people. And through this whole incident, we could see that local councils aren't playing their roles very well, and it might not be their fault, it might be because of the larger structural issues with our governance.
Okay.
But yeah, none of the local government people wanted to speak to me.
Okay. Okay, all right. I'm speaking today to Wong Pui Yi. She's a researcher at the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, or the C4 Center, and Heng Kia Chun, who's a campaigner with Greenpeace Malaysia. And we're discussing a recent report that was released by the C4 Center, which is titled "Malaysia is Not a Garbage Dump: Citizens Against Corruption, Complacency, Crime and the Climate Crisis." And that actually kind of delves into the illegality surrounding plastic recycling in Malaysia. So we're going to find out more about the key findings of this report after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. On the line with me today are Wong Pui Yi. She's the researcher at the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, or the C4 Center. And she's also the author of a report titled "Malaysia is Not a Garbage Dump: Citizens Against Corruption, Complacency, Crime and the Climate Crisis." And also joining us is Heng Kia Chun, who is a campaigner with Greenpeace Malaysia. And together, you know, they're helping me sort of understand what's happening in Malaysia with regard to the illegal plastic recycling trade and, you know, whether the time is right to demand accountability and transparency from our government and our businesses. So before the break, Pui, you were telling me about some of the challenges of, you know, conducting the research and, you know, getting people to talk to you. But you did manage to conduct about 40 interviews for this report. And I know that, you know, the study was conducted, or research was conducted, from November 2019 to March 2021. Tell me a little bit about some of your key findings, you know, from there's quite a lot of research that you had to do there.
Okay, so I had a lot of information and it covered such a vast array of topics. Yeah. And I had quite a challenge trying to structure it all into one report. So finally, I decided to settle on focusing on good governance and also teasing out themes from what everyone has been telling me. So the community was very happy to share their stories. Sure. Because they were very frustrated. The fight started in 2018. When China's ban happened, mm-hmm. and they, by the time I did my research, it was 2020, so they were already going through at least 1 year of all these bad fumes. So when we talk about good governance, we're talking about public sector capability, public sector management, good public sector management. We're talking about democratic accountability, a government that responds to the people and is accountable to the people, proper laws, and an environment where information is shared, things are transparent, people have confidence in each other, people have confidence in the institutions.
Yeah.
So when I started research into this, I realized how broken our system was. So it's not just the recycling system that is broken, but our governance system was very broken. So I highlighted a few key themes, right? Corruption, complacency, crime, and climate crisis. So climate crisis is the final effect.
Right.
But corruption, wow, I had so many stories of corruption, but because they're anecdotal, I don't know if I should repeat them on national radio. But what I can say is the ones that are proven is that, number one, the rubbish piled up so high in certain areas in Jenjarom, in Sungai Petani particularly, and nothing was done about it. The local community in Jenjarom complained for 6 months, letter after letter to various departments, and nothing was done until we had a change of government and they finally took action in July 2018. Mm-hmm. When raids were conducted many times, it clearly there was a tip-off. Somehow the facilities knew that the authorities were coming. And this was shared by the community. So one community member said in her village, she found the foreign worker from the factory playing basketball during the day of the raid. And she asked him, not she, I think the fellow villagers. And this person said that, oh, we were told not to go to work. So they knew. And the government also acknowledged this as reported in the media and as they told me also. Thirdly, I found out accidentally that the heads of the Department of Environment, so this could be related to complacency or corruption, I can't say, but heads of the Department of Environment of the branches as well as the state level were being changed towards the end of 2016. Towards the end of 2019, early 2020. So when I wanted to speak to other heads, particularly in Kedah, I was told, oh, our head is new, so they don't really know what's happening.
Something like that.
Yeah, so these are just a few quick examples of how things were not right. And also, of course, I got stories of people being offered money and people collecting money and things like that. And that would point to corruption, but I have no proof on that. And so don't those people who shared the allegations. But we know that, so when we talk about plastic waste, we need to know the difference between unrecyclable single-use plastic waste, mm-hmm. recyclable plastic waste, and a whole array of other different types of plastics. And in terms of factories, there's also legal factories and illegal factories. And what type of illegal factories, what makes them illegal, mainly is that they had no approval to run their operations. And for legal factories, they could be legal in the sense that they have their operating licenses and business licenses, but they could be violating environmental laws. So there's so many small issues to pick up on.
Mm.
But yeah, going back to the problems that the people were facing that we could see was that the factories were tipped off. And after being sealed, many, many of them just continued the next day with that yellow tape across the entrance. The tape remains there, but the operations continue.
Oh, I see. So basically, business went on as usual, but with the appearance of it being shut, lah.
Yes.
Okay.
And in addition to that, this was what I encountered on the ground. In addition to the illegal activities that were going on, the local communities were intimidated by gangsters. Yeah, they even know the names of the gangs. So one very famous case was prominent activist from Sungai, from Jenjarum, mm-hmm. who had red paint splashed on her house.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, Miss Pua. So finally, the perpetrators were brought to court, but the person who paid them, who hired them, was never found out.
I see.
Never caught. Yeah.
Okay, so there's elements of intimidation, there's elements of corruption, though you weren't able to prove it, but points to it at least, right? And also, as you said, a lot of complacency, you know. I mean, as you said, how did all of this enter Malaysia? How did the plastic waste even enter Malaysia in the first place, right, with such ease? That was one of the main things that you were looking at as well.
Well, I can answer that. So before this whole issue happened, our legit plastic waste recyclers have already been importing plastic waste for their operations, but there were no proper rules and criteria and regulation, and there weren't even an environmental guideline for plastic recycling factories at the time because everything was just so small scale.
Right.
So there was no regulatory framework in place at all. And then suddenly this opportunity came, this businessman from China came.
Mm-hmm.
And our local operators decided to hop on the bandwagon and jump on the economic opportunity.
Right.
So this waste just came in being declared as all sorts of things. The HS3915 plastics for HS code 3915, which means plastic waste, plastic scrap, you need an import permit. But these people were bringing in all types of waste under different codes that didn't need permits. So when thousands of containers pass through the port, it's quite impossible for the port authorities or for customs to open every container, to even scan every container. The scanner can't even capture what type of plastic waste it is.
Of course,
so,
right.
So it's quite easy to just... There is a lot of cases of misdecoration, false decoration. They just declare it as something and just bring in the container. And even after our so-called ban and more monitoring in end 2018, you could still see plastic waste, non-recyclable waste coming in. You can find it in my report.
But I mean, I think we do remember that in 2019, under the previous Pakatan Harapan government, at least, mm-hmm. You know, there was this big decision to send back imported waste. You know, we saw many of those containers being sent back and all of that. I mean, that did happen, of course, right? But you're saying that still... others were coming in somehow. Is that correct?
Okay, so let me just go back to my final point on the climate change.
Sure.
So when I did my research, it was kind of at the end of everything. The big hoo-ha over 2018, 2019 has kind of died down.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of enforcement agencies and government people whom I spoke to felt like the issue is under control and it has been solved.
That's right.
But when I went to the ground, what Greenpeace second report, the Recycling Mix 2.0, what was in the report was very important and its impact on climate change and people's health. So what I saw was that the major piles of unrecyclable plastic found in Jejurum had been cleared, or even the Klang Pulau Keri had been cleared. But clearly you can see on the ground, it's impossible to clear from the ground from all these tiny, tiny, it's shredded waste, it burns, it's melted. It'll be there in the ground forever.
Right.
And then I found the residents brought me to abandoned industrial lots where bales of plastic were still sitting there, recyclable or unrecyclable, I don't know. But they're still sitting there after the issue was supposedly cleared. And I came across two massive dump sites on the banks of Sungai Muda, the river that feeds Penang, Perlis and Kedah, drinking water to them. And this dump site, one was discovered, I think, mid-2019. I was told that previously the waste was mountains high and then now it's flattened. But there it is. It's still there. And I think according to the National Land Code, what the owner of the land needs to do is to return the land to its original state. So what he could do is just flatten the waste and cover it with a layer of soil on top and who knows what's underneath.
Oh.
So the impact on the environment, the impact on people's health, it's not being studied. It's not, no one knows what the impacts are and it's going to stay with us for a long time. Going back to your question on whether it's still happening, definitely the import or the smuggling of mixed plastic waste, mixed unrecyclable municipal domestic waste, for example, like your toothpaste, toothbrush, your bread, plastic, things like that. Based on the dumping, the lack of dumping that we see, that probably has been reduced. Maybe the smugglers decide to smuggle to another territory that doesn't have such strong controls.
Right.
But number one, a lot of waste being dumped after the enforcement efforts, a lot of waste being dumped was shredded. So we don't really know what they are.
Okay.
And the government can easily say, so someone told me that, no, this is not, how do you know this is imported waste? Can you see the brand? Then I said that actually we can see one or two plastic bags that has foreign brands, but everything else is shredded. And then he said, it's just one or two. How can you say that people are dumping imported plastic waste here? It could be, it's one or two pieces. It could be thrown here from somewhere else or someone could dump it out of their house, something like that.
Right.
So when they start shredding the waste, it's very difficult to find out where it comes from. And a lot of it look like it could be e-waste. It could be, I don't know if the electronic parts are there or not, but the plastic components from electronic gadgets is definitely there. So that's another problem. Yeah. So we don't exactly know what is happening and how much smuggling is still happening, but the communities have their suspicions.
All right. So it sounds like a huge monumental problem, but I mean, you have come up with recommendations and, you know, Heng, please feel free to jump in here as well. You know, what are some recommendations for everybody involved to kind of curb this illegal waste trade? And, you know, I mean, yeah, what can we do to improve the situation, to stop the situation from happening in the first place?
So in our reports, we mentioned a few recommendations to Malaysian governments. So the first one is we need an inclusive rehabilitation actions that involve at least three few ministries. The first one is the Ministry of Environment and Water. This ministry have to conduct further investigation into the affected area and also amend the Environmental Quality Act 1974 into Environmental Protection Law. The second one is the Health Ministry. The Health Ministry should provide healthcare support to the affected area, especially people in Sungai Petani in Jejurum, because they are the people who are staying there.
Yeah.
And this, the pollution are affecting them. So this is that's why there's a cost of this investment. And also, I mean, there's lots of pollution caused by this investment. So the Health Ministry should also conduct or provide more healthcare support to them. The last but not least is Malaysia Anti-Corruption Commission. This MSCC should reactivate its environmental corruption initiative with an emphasis on the corruptions related to the management of waste trade.
Okay. That we totally support.
Yes, sounds like exactly what we need. But go ahead, Pui, what are your recommendations from the C4 Centre?
Okay, so as of now, we have two output documents. One is the full report, and we also have a policy brief. So my policy brief, I focus more on the plastic waste trade, on adhering to the Basel Convention. So the Basel Convention is an international convention that regulates the transboundary movement of hazardous waste.
That's
so
right.
the Basel Convention suggests limits of 0.5% contaminants. So 0.5 out of tons and tons, it's a lot already. But our government, it allows 5% contamination. But our government allows 5% contamination. They say that the contamination must only be like dust and things like that. The waste must still be recyclable. So out of 100% of imported goods, it should be all recyclable. There should be no rubbish being disposed. One question that I have to ask is, how are they going to ensure that? How are they going to monitor that? How are they going to ensure compliance?
Yeah.
And also, around our country now, if you observe a little bit about the policies that the government is putting up, there are a lot of incinerators being planned. There's a lot of waste disposal site. One very famous one is at the Linus Disposal Facility.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of a larger industrial waste disposal site. So the question is, why are they preparing so many disposal sites? Is it for our domestic and industrial waste, or is it for also imported waste? So that's a question to ask. So in my policy brief, I recommend to have a ban on plastic waste imports and to sort out our local plastic waste collection, separation at source first to get plastic waste from our site first. And of course, this cannot be immediate because we cannot throw our plastic recyclers into the deep end of the pool. It has to be slow, targeted, well-planned policy to slowly ease off plastic, imported plastic waste and to collect our local plastic waste for recycling.
Yeah.
In my larger report, I have many recommendations and they are rather general, but in the works, I plan to develop more targeted policy briefs for the ministries. So do look out for that. But overall, our recommendations would be, of course, to improve governance and monitoring first and foremost before improve your regulatory frameworks, improve your corruption, anti-corruption efforts before you start allowing all these toxic and risky industries into the country. So I have one chapter that strays away from plastic waste because I was thinking for a long time. So as I was researching this whole plastic waste problem, I stumbled upon so many issues of factories, legal factories violating laws and affecting local people. So I have one chapter on it, chapter 5. And it's not a new issue, this question of industry versus residents. It's not new at all. It has been going on for decades.
Yep.
It's just that this affected us so greatly because of the volumes of plastic waste that was coming in. So in Malaysia, we really need to have more transparency, have more public accountability and public participation. When people make complaints, listen to them instead of ignoring them. And when you make policies, we hope that the government would have more substantive public engagement with the people, especially the local people around the area if you're going to industrialize in the area, so that people can make informed decisions. And another more technical area that I would like to go in my future brief,
sure,
would be about the sitting of industries. So from our experience in Johor, Pasir Gudang,
mm-hmm,
and Kuala Langat, our areas near the ports, even in Rawok, we could see that areas near the ports are haphazardly developed, and all the industries and the residences are so close to each other, and we know that our industries are not very good with following laws, environmental laws. So in the end, it really impacts the local people's lives greatly.
Yeah,
this is something we all need to talk more about.
Yeah, so I think just want to add on that if Malaysia does not have strict
regulation and strengthen monitoring to partner loophole, we may still find a lot of pollution in Malaysia. So from my side, the conclusion is that this is a global problem. Recycling is good, but recycling alone cannot fix our global pollution fast enough. So the next discussion should also focus on increasing sorting efficiency, restricting the disposal of plastic waste into landfill, and phasing out non-essential plastic items. That is also why we are calling governments and companies to set clear reductions target for non-essential plastic and invest in redesigning alternatives such as refill and reuse system. This imported plastic waste is a wake-up call for us, especially Malaysians, a wake-up call for us to demand a good governance for clean air, for clean water, and clean environment.
So just to add quickly, a 2015 study found that Malaysia is the 8th most polluting countries globally in terms of mismanaged plastic waste going into the ocean. 8th in the world.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
And then now we're getting imported plastic.
Okay. So we really need to clean up our act. And I think really, you know, from a citizen's point of view, we really need to, demand accountability, isn't it? Not just from the government, but from businesses themselves as well. You know, if we see it, report it, and, you know, don't just, let it happen, right?
Yes, exactly. We need to demand more for our businesses, definitely, because throughout 2020, all of us were locked in our homes.
Yeah.
In Selangor alone, we had so many cases of dumping and pollution that affected our water.
Yes, and from businesses that were, you know, operating illegally for, like, you know, 20, 30 years or, you know, even more than that.
Yes. And we have a program in Selangor to legalize the factories. And after 10 years and more than 10 years, there are still thousands of factories that do not meet the proper procedures in terms of getting their business licenses, having the proper land use. Malaysians just break the law a lot. And we all know why enforcement is weak.
Okay. All right.
Do we? Yeah, because of corruption. The National Anti-Corruption, NACP, National Anti-Corruption Plan, was a good effort. And the current government has stated that it will continue with the plan. And it's very important that they stick with it. Because in a plan, there's talk about strengthening whistleblower protection, strengthening freedom of information, giving people the right to information. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that the government stick to it. And it's very important for the people to hold the government accountable and to keep asking them, where are these promises that you made to improve the processes and the transparency and the governance in our country? What happened to all your anti-corruption pledges? It's important for the people to keep asking these questions.
Definitely. Okay. All right. I'm afraid we're running out of time, but if if anyone would like to find out more information on the report by C4 Centre, you can just head to c4centre.org. The full report is there, the policy brief, the executive summary, everything is there. And I think, as you mentioned, Pui, your further papers are also going to be released on that same website, right?
Yes. More papers will be released on the same website. And C4 also has a report coming out in April. So watch our space.
Okay. All right. And if you'd like to find out more about Greenpeace and the work that they do and also the reports that they issued, the Recycling Myth and the Recycling Myth 2.0, you just need to head to greenpeace.org/Malaysia. And you can, you know, there's lots of information there. Any last message, both of you, that you'd like to leave us with?
So just one additional point that we are talking about recyclable plastic and how this effort to bring in recyclable plastic ended up with so much pollution and burning happening on our land. And a large issue is with non-recyclable single-use plastic that's being dumped all over the world. Mm. So we have to remember that there's a difference between recyclable plastic and we should support closed-loop recycling. For example, a plastic bottle can get recycled into a plastic bottle. The recycling process is a good one to keep materials, to reuse materials. But what we have to stand up against is single-use plastic because single-use plastic is from developed countries is getting dumped in our country, in Southeast Asia. And also we need to be aware of how weaknesses in our institutions, weaknesses, high corruption, how it can impact us, even though we don't see the tangible impacts immediately.
Definitely. Heng, any last message you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, I think again, I would say that this imported plastic waste is a really huge wake-up call for all of us to start to rethink our lifestyle. But we need to be like conscious of our environmental impact, but most of all, also demanding accountability from those who have caused global warming and have profited from the businesses of extracting these natural resources. So we are Earth citizens. So we need to demand a good governance for a clean air, for clean environment, and clean water.
Yes. Support clean air, clean environment for all.
Definitely. All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Wong Pui Yi, who's a researcher at the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, or the C4 Center, and also Heng Kia Chun, who's a campaigner with Greenpeace Malaysia. And we were discussing why Malaysia is not a garbage dump. And, you know, if you'd like to check out the report, Malaysia is not a garbage dump, Citizens Against Corruption, Complacency, Crime and Climate Crisis, head to c4center.org. And if you'd like to check out Greenpeace reports, head to greenpeace.org/Malaysia. And if you missed any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.